In the classic story, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, Edmund is dragged away from his siblings and thus left vulnerable to temptation by the queen or the devil, as we saw in this scene. She entices him to give in and give up, and for what? Turkish delight, a taste-good, feel-good substance that at the same time is a hollow and empty thing as well. It's like us selling out all we really want in life for a dozen donuts. And I like donuts, but that sounds absurd that any of us would really sell out what we really want in life for a dozen donuts. Though the author of that scene, and is originally seen in the book, C.S. Lewis, his point was that we're tempted like that all the time. More often than we think, and often we take the Turkish delight. So the question for us isn't, well, how absurd it would be that we'd sell out what we really want out of life. The question is, what is being sold to us? What is the devil selling us that is hollow, empty? What is our current temptation? That's the smart question to be asking for me and for you. And so the question is that, and in these times especially, it's challenging times, right? No surprise there. However, what is a surprise is how vulnerable our souls become in challenging times. We often don't even recognize it or realize it, but we are vulnerable in challenging times, especially in trial times. We are vulnerable to temptation, to being sold something hollow, essentially to give in and give up in the face of temptation. We're vulnerable to give in and give up, yet James, half-brother and disciple of Jesus, has an inspirational message challenge for us, and it is don't give in, don't give up, lean in and live up, even in the face of temptations, even in the face of challenging times. Don't give in, don't give up, lean in and live up, because blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. Now, temptation is always a hard test in life. That's just a reality. Temptation is always a hard test in life, though we are not to view and we don't view temptation as something from God. Temptation is not a test from God, because Jesus said to pray this way, God, deliver us from temptation. God, deliver us from temptation. Because Jesus gave us that vision of himself, of God, James, half-brother and disciple of Jesus, says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone, but each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. And the scripture goes on, then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. It's a love message. James is not speaking to people he doesn't love. He loves those of us who receive this message. And it's a love message that says, don't be deceived. Even in the face of temptation, in the face of challenging times, don't give in, don't give up, lean in and live up. James wants us to win the battles of life. James wants us to win the real battles of life. He wants us to win the real battles of life. So he calls our attention to the real battle. He calls our attention to the real battle, or as biblical scholar Bruce Barton says, the real competition of life. Call our attention to the real competition of this life. We do not compete against each other, but against our own sins and against the course set out for us. See, Barton is reminding us of what James is calling us to focus on. That is the real competition, the real battle of this life. Too often we spend our energy, time, and focus on competing with each other, which James reminds us is not our real battle. James is warning us. It's a loving warning. It's a warning anyway. If too much energy is spent on competing with one another, we're going to get leveled by the devil doing that. Leveled by the devil doing that. Because it's not the real battle. Now, should we assume James has something against a friendly game of pickup basketball where you have a little competition? Should we assume that Barton, the Bible scholar, is against athletic competition or some other healthy forms of competition? No, think of it this way. When was the last time you lost sleep competing and comparing? Competing and comparing in life. Well, I'm not as successful as they are. Well, I'm not as successful as this TV ad says I should be. Well, I don't have what they have. I looked out the window and the neighbor has more. We spend energy competing and comparing. I do it. We do it. In our weaknesses, we all do it. And James says, slow down. Too much energy spent on that. Not even the real competition of life. James says we're distracted by the real competition of life, which is our sins, our lot in life, the course set out for us, our lot in life, the cards dealt to you, to me, that makes life hard. That's the battle. That's the battle. It's the things unseen. It's our sins. Don't give in. Don't give up. Lean in and live up. Win the real battles. And the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe scene, it's important to know that Edmund didn't just wake up one day being tempted by the queen or the devil. He has these wired weaknesses. He has these wired weaknesses. One of his weaknesses is having this go at it alone, jealousy of his siblings kind of wiring, and that's what leads him into a vulnerable situation where he is then tempted and enticed. We all have these wired weaknesses. We too have these. And they leave us vulnerable to temptation. It could be a personality bend like Edmund's that leads us or drags us away, as James said in the text, right? When we're dragged away by these wired weaknesses and then vulnerable and often alone in our thinking, maybe not physically, sometimes physically alone, yes, other times mentally, spiritually feeling alone, thus vulnerable to temptation. And so it could be a personality bend like that that leads us into vulnerable attitudes, vulnerable situations. It could be a birth order that, like the younger son, the prodigal son, or the younger daughter, that leads you to being self-reckless like we saw in the prodigal son story. Or the other side of the coin of that story, the elder son, the older daughter, the older son, the other side of the coin there was what? Not self-reckless, but self-righteous. And see, we're all battling these wired weaknesses. It could be those. It could be all sorts of mental, physical, or emotional fallen nature. Genesis 1, 2, 3, and 4 gets into this fallen nature we all have because of our fallen world, because of sin's entry into the world. We're all battling these wired weaknesses that leave us vulnerable to temptation. We're battling these. It's important to remember we're all battling these. This helps us stop competing with each other and instead prompts us to support one another. We're all battling wired weaknesses. They're not the same, but we're all battling them. We all have that same battle in this fallen world. And our fallen nature, our wired weaknesses, they do make us vulnerable to lose that trust in God. And to say yes to the serpent in the garden, grab the apple. They make us vulnerable to say yes to the queen in Narnia. They make us vulnerable to say yes to the devil in our day and age. Yet here's the truth. Our vulnerability does not mean we are dismissed from our responsibility to make the next right choice. Our vulnerability does not mean we are dismissed from our responsibility to make the next right choice. It's so important for me to do and for you to do. If we can be honest, I think we can look in the mirror and say, that's important for us to do. Make the next right choice. So please, may we search our souls and make the next right choice. James says, do not be deceived. into making the next wrong choice, my brothers and sisters. Do not give in to those wired weaknesses. Do not give in the face of those evil desires, because to do so is to lose our battle with sin. And James is saying, with Jesus leading the way, with him as our foundation, we're set up to win, not give in. We're not people of giving in. With Jesus leading the way, with him as our foundation, we are set up to win, not give in. Lean in to him and not give in. Now, our sins, they could certainly be those one-choice moments like grabbing the apple in the garden. They could be those one-choice moments like selling out what you really want for Turkish delight, metaphorically, whatever that thing is in front of you that you want to sell out what you really want for that hollow thing. And we've got to be aware of those one choice away from ruin moments, because they do come. They do come. The one choice away from ruin moments do come, and may we choose wisely. God, have mercy on us to have his guidance in those moments and to choose wisely, to have the power to make the next right choice, even in the face of temptation. And our sins are also patterns of choices, habits. The slow fade, the domino effect, the more subtle compromises over time that we cycle through, that damage ourselves and those around us. And we fight the battles of our wired weaknesses, our evil desires, our sins, both the one choice away from ruin kind of moments and the habit cycles. We fight all of that, guess what? Through a veil of tears. Through a veil of tears. That's what the earliest Jesus followers summed up life as. Some of them summed up life as a veil of tears, a hard life, this side of heaven. So if you felt recently like the journey of life seems to be more like a veil of tears, you are not alone. You are not alone. Yet did they find a way to thrive in faith and have joy and spread love and kindness and joy in the face of it all? Yes, they did. They did. They were influenced by people like James, just like we're being influenced this morning, who said, don't give in, don't give up through this veil of tears. I get it. You've got the wired weaknesses like me. You've got the evil desires like me. You've got the habit cycles. You've got the things you, the struggles that you may be born into, born with. You've got all that, and we've got a veil of tears. Guess what? Don't give in. Don't give up. Lean in and live up. You can win this fight, not on your own power, but by the grace of Jesus Christ, who leads us. It offers us that new beginning we need time and time again to press through, endure. Remember it said, persevere through this veil of tears. Those earliest followers were also influenced like we are by a vision we see in Revelation, that a time will come in the next life that won't be a veil of tears, because the veil of tears is wiped away. By who? Who's the veil of tears wiped away by? Say it louder. Jesus. God, Jesus wipes away. God himself, Jesus himself wipes away the veil of tears. You said it. And so we persevere, and until we get to our true home, we don't give in, we don't give up, we press forward, because there's a life coming that is not a veil of tears. In fact, that will be wiped away. And so we lean in and live up, we don't give in and give up. And so how might we begin leaning in? We've been saying that, but it's like, what does it look like? Well, I want to offer us two steps, and no, those are not the only steps. But that's really all we have time for. I mean, this is not like a basket of French fries. I love French fries, but this is not like fast food. Like, give me all the steps I need. I'll be honest with you, these are just two steps. However, they are two steps that you can put into practice today. And momentum matters. When we want to be people of leaning in and living up to the new life Jesus gives us, momentum matters. Two steps matter. They do. And so let's look at a couple steps. Lean into the discipline of asking, what do I really want? That's a step, a real one you can take today. Lean into the discipline of asking, what do I really want? Rarely is the thing or person or item or attitude that is tempting us actually what we really want. It's not actually what we really want deep down. Just as one example, and there could be many, but just as one example, we may be tempted to spend money we don't have. We need the discipline in those moments to ask ourselves, wait, let me pause for a moment. What do I really want? What do I really want? Now, if you do that, I know this is hypothetical, but just follow this with me. If you would do that, and you would do some soul searching, you might find yourself reflecting back to yourself things like, you know what I really want? I want a bigger savings account. I want to be out of debt. I want to be more generous with what I have. That's what I really want. And so you say, I don't really want that TV. Deep down, it'd be nice to have, but I've done some thinking and asking and soul searching. It's just not what I want. And see, this is where greater discipline leads to greater freedom. People hear the word discipline, we think, I hear it sometimes too, I'll be honest, and think, well, that's really going to restrict what I want. That's really going to restrict what I don't want discipline. I want a boundaryless life. Rarely does a boundaryless life get us what we want, if we're honest. Discipline leads to greater freedom. Why? Because I'll tell you, there is nothing more freeing. There is nothing almost more freeing. I mean, there might be, but I get excited about this. There is nothing more freeing than the ad telling you you want the TV, Amazon telling you you want the TV. You ever see how that happens? You think of a TV, all of a sudden it's there in the social media feed. All of a sudden it's right there in the Amazon cart somehow. I mean, it's not that far, but it's pretty much you think of something and it's right there in front of you somehow, the marketing. There's nothing better than the ad telling you you want it, Amazon telling you you want it, your friend saying, oh yeah, you really got to get this. We've got it. We love it. You're going to love it. In the world and the status quo saying, you want this, you need this. There's nothing more freeing in those moments to be able to say, no, I don't. I don't. I don't want that. Because I want this. Whatever this is, remember, whatever your real want is, I want this, and that right now doesn't get me this. That right now doesn't get me what I really want. That is freedom. That is not, it is freedom. It might be restricting in some ways, but it's a restriction for more freedom of your own pursuing what you really want, what I really want. And so this is where discipline becomes something that brings us more freedom, even in the face of these temptations that get thrown our way. And see, the world says, I know you, and I know what you want, and we're sold stuff all the time by the world, by the devil, and the voice is, I know you, I know what you want, here it is, come and take. Nothing is more freeing than be able to say back to a loud world that is in your face, no, you do not know me. And if you did, you wouldn't offer me that. Because that is not this, which I really want. And so I quit. I don't want it. I'm done competing and comparing. I'm done entertaining. I need to quit giving in so I can start getting after what I really want. And a lot of this does have to do with wisdom. Did you know there's a wisdom book in the Bible called the Proverbs? Right in the middle of the Bible there's a book called the Proverbs. And James himself loved the Proverbs. He actually references them often. So sticking with the theme of this series, the Proverbs would be a great cross-reference for me, for you, for us. This week and all through the series, a great cross-reference. So get a Bible in front of you this week. Read the Proverbs. Read a few verses per day. Pray through them. You know, the Proverbs, it's one of those books you can literally just read a few sentences a day, and they're deep. They're mostly simple to understand and deep, and you can chew on them and think about, how does that apply to my life? And listen, if you're kind of new to that, if you're new to diving into the Word and diving into the Bible that way, let me tell you, you're going to hit a few sentences where you scratch your head going, well, I don't know what to do with that. That's okay. We all hit those spots in the scriptures where we go, well, I don't really know how that applies today. And that's okay. You just move on to the next day. You move on to the next set of sentences. Because you will find something. If you stay disciplined to this, I promise you, you will find things that apply to your life. God will use his word to speak to you. And that is how his word becomes alive, because you get those moments. It doesn't happen every time, but when you're disciplined enough, you do it enough, it will happen. And you hit those moments, you go, God's word is alive. Because apart from it being alive, I don't know how this could speak into my life that way and know what I'm going through and give me that direction. And I invite you to be disciplined and trust in God's word there. Use the Proverbs that way. And that's a way we can seek wisdom. We ask God for wisdom. We talked about it last week. James 1:21 speaks of planting God's word and wisdom into our hearts. That's how we can do that right there, through the Proverbs. Reference, cross-referenced with James, if we're reading that to you. And that's ways we plant God's word in our heart. It helps us in the face of temptation. It helps us in being disciplined. What do I really want out of life? And that's a great disciple and discipline question. What do I really want? And please give yourself room for some soul searching in God's grace and guidance in that question. Another step of leaning in instead of giving in is lean into discussion. James 5:16 says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. So that you may be healed. We must lean into discussion in times like this. We must lean into discussion, and when faced with temptation and trial, who were you in discussion with about, yes, even your own sins and temptations? And if that sounds too scary, because that does, doesn't it? Let's be honest. That's like, let me simplify it. Who is encouraging you to grow? Who is encouraging you to grow? We all have friends that will jump on our bandwagon. We all have friends that will howl at the moon with us. And let's be honest, we're human. Sometimes we need that. Sometimes we need that. We just do. Let's be honest. We have a need for a friend every once in a while. Just jump on the bandwagon, listen to all we're worried about, howl at the moon with us about all our trials and tribulations. We do need that. Can we also be honest and admit that as humans, sometimes that's the last thing we need? It's not that simple that we always need that. Sometimes we need that. Sometimes we don't need that. That's the last thing we need. And we need the friend who can say, let me encourage you to grow this way. Let me encourage you to rethink that direction, encourage you to grow that way. We need that. And listen, it's got to be from people that love us. It has to be from the people that love us, because no one wants coached. I don't, you don't, I guarantee you don't. No one wants coached on, cheered on, encouraged on in life and faith or both by someone who doesn't love them. No one wants that. I don't, you, I hope you don't. We all want cheered on, coached on, encouraged on by people that know us and love us. It's got to be those people. We've got to have, I'm assuming we must have people that love us that we can share with them how we want to grow. And they can check in with us and ask us about that growth. And can openly encourage us in that growth. That can happen in friendships or in a life group or even in community. It's one of the reasons why being connected to a church community is so important, because sometimes it's not just one person. It's a community that over time, even if it's been different churches, like I was in a church in Western Pennsylvania a lot of my younger life, and then I've been here. And the church has cheered me on, encouraged me on in different ways, at different times, through the Holy Spirit. It's been this voice that continues to encourage. I know not everyone's had experiences like that, and I apologize if that's been the case for you. But the fact is, church community, when it's healthy, following Christ, when it's standing on Christ's foundation, it's not perfect, but it can be that voice for you, that encourages you on, cheers you on, encourages you on. That's why it's so important to remain connected to church community, especially in times like this. And sometimes, listen, when things get real dark, listen to me now. When things get really dark, when things get dark, it has to be the people that know us and love us for who we are, period. Remember I told you moments ago, the world says, I know you, I know what you want. And I encourage us to say back, no, you don't know me. You don't know what I want. And I would ask you to add this as well, especially when it's dark. Especially when it's dark, add this. But I do know someone who does know me, and I need to go to them for healing discussion. I need to go to them for healing discussion. And it might be only one or two people you have in your life like that. That's okay. That's all a lot of us have. That's okay. That's all a lot of us have. And when you are vulnerable to those wired weaknesses, when the evil desires are dragging you away, and the trials and temptations seem too much in life, when it's your darkest hour, I don't care if you have to wake up your parents in the middle of the night. I don't care if you have to drive several hours. I don't care if you have to buy a plane ticket and fly. Do it all safely, please, but go to the people that know you and love you, period, no matter what. You might have hundreds of followers on social media. You might have hundreds of Facebook friends, but I bet you can count on one hand the people that really know you and love you for who you are, period. Really love you no matter what. Go to them in your darkest hour. God will use them to bring you the healing, affirmation, and love you are looking for. The devil does not know you. The devil does not know you. The world does not know you. And darkness is not your home. Darkness is not your home. Those people you think of, they do know you. God's love is your home. And they might remind you of that. They might remind you of that. They might remind you not of what you want to hear, but of what you want in life. And there's a difference. There's a difference between those who remind us of what we want to hear and those who remind us of what we really want in life. And that's why they have to be people that know us and love us. Healing discussion happens when those people remind us of what we want in life. Wait, whoa, whoa, whoa. Let me encourage you to... You're seeing in fog right now, and that's okay. We all get in the fog sometimes. We need those people to say, hey, we're in some fog. I know you think it's clear and you're running at full speed, but let me tell you, we're in fog. And we know it's like that's love speaking. And they're helping us in our dark hour. This is healing discussion. This is healing discussion, along with prayers, along with partnership in the faith. Healing discussion is something we must lean into, and there are many forms of it. So whether it's in the form of a more casual life group conversation, or a talk with a parent, or a deep conversation on a dark night with family or friends who are a light in our lives, whatever the form, lean into it. Lean into trusted discussion that brings both healing and the motivation to live up, not give up. And I've got to speak to the young people for a moment. I was a youth pastor for several years, still have a lot of passion to see young people thrive in a very confusing world. And listen, if you're young, hear me out. When you're young, sometimes it's confusing, okay? And sometimes you hear voices and you say, you know what, they really get me because they're telling me exactly what I want to hear. And then sometimes people that really, really, really love you, family, parents, those really, really, really good friends, they're saying things that you don't want to hear, and you're starting to think as a young person, oh, I think the people that are telling me what I want to hear, they really get me. You know, slow down and ask yourself, who really gets me? Who really is there for me? Because remember, this has to do with vulnerability. And the last person you want to be talking to when you're vulnerable is someone who's going to manipulate the vulnerability of your soul. And so I pray God's mercy for the young people who are confused about what voices to listen to. And I pray that God would give you the wisdom to know who to listen to. These two steps of discipline and discussion are not the only steps, as I said, but they are two steps that will help us be the people who are leaning in, not giving in. And as we take these steps, and momentum carries, momentum matters. Remember I told you there's a verse in the Hebrews that says momentum matters, basically it's saying throw off anything that's tripping you up. Throw it off and run the race set before you. I know it's a veil of tears. Hebrews is basically saying, I know it's a veil of tears. I know we have wired weaknesses. James is echoing in this too. I know it's a challenge. Don't give in. Don't give up. Lean in and live up. And let us allow our closing thought to be focused on these next couple verses from James. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. James is concluding our time, reminding us that no matter the temptations, no matter the trials, there's always new life. Always a new beginning available in Jesus Christ. Every day, every hour, every second, there's a new beginning in Christ for you. Therefore, don't give in and don't give up. Lean in and live up to all he gives us in his grace. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you invite us to lean into your grace and to live up to the new ways in which you are creating us. Thank you for discipline and wisdom, which reminds us to get after what we really want out of life. Thank you for community, where we can find the trustworthy discussions we need with others who will cheer us on, support us on towards greater growth in the new life we find in you. In your holy name we pray, amen. And we're gonna head into a time of worship, just encourage you, open up your souls and hearts to Jesus in the ways in which you need him. He's available. He's available to give us the strength we need to lean in and live up instead of give in and give up. So let's worship together.